everybody. Good morning. I don't know when you're going to listen to this, but thank you for joining me here on another episode of Drop of the Gloves. I am John Scott, your host, your co-host, your third host. I get a lot of emails. John, get a co-host. Listen, I tried. I poked around a little bit, but it's tough to get a co-host when you can just guarantee them zero money whatsoever. And you're going to ask them to take time away from their friends and family and their life. And I can't guarantee anything. Revenue is hit or miss with this thing. So yeah, I'll do what I can, but don't hold your breath. I try to have guests here and here, here and there, but you know, it is what it is. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you get to bask in my freshly shampooed hair without hairspray or gel. It's just free flowing. It looks terrible. But sometimes I like to wash the hair, put a little shampoo in it, and just let it flow for the day to breathe. I don't know about you, but I don't think shampooing your hair every day is good. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I do it once every, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks. Obviously, I get it wet and rinse it out and stuff. I do that every day just to make sure it's looking good. But to physically add shampoo once every 2 weeks, that's where I'm going. Because when I do it, it just gets like, look at this. It's like feathery soft, but it just, there's no form. There's no shape. It looks terrible. Whatever. If you're a hairdresser, let me know what I'm doing wrong, because I don't have much hair. And I'd like to kind of work with what I got, you know, do the best with what I have. Which, as we're transitioning, the four teams left in the playoffs have been doing very, very well. They've been working well with what they've got. We are now into the conference finals, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to the Montreal Canadiens, my last team, getting by, squeaking by the Buffalo Sabres somehow, some way, in a game I thought the Buffalo Sabres dominated. Not from start to finish, but pretty much 5 minutes into the first period, they carried the play. But Montreal, thanks to their goaltender, Jakub Dobuš, much like he did in the first round versus the Tampa Bay Lightning, carries them to victory. And just rat aficionado Alex Newhook scores his second consecutive series-clinching goal. He did it in game round one versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. Round two, he did it in overtime versus the Buffalo Sabres on a goal with Jukka Pekkalukkonen, and should have had. The more I watch it, the more it upsets me. It was a savable shot. They should have started Alex Lyon, but that's besides the point. The Buffalo Sabres are dead to us. We're on to four teams. Colorado, Vegas Golden Knights, they dropped the puck tonight. Buffalo Sabres, Montreal Canadiens. Ah, the Buffalo Sabres, I keep saying them. The Carolina Hurricanes, the Montreal Canadiens drop the puck tomorrow night. And it's going to be fantastic. You know, I have been so far not impressed by these playoffs versus last year when I was just blown out of the water. Last year, every single series was enthralling. There was drama. There was everything you could ask for. Going to game sevens, there was intrigue. This postseason has been pretty much a dud. But I'm having high hopes for this conference finals, even though I think I will be disappointed. So in this podcast, we are going to talk about why each team could win the Stanley Cup. If you listen to all the pundits, if you listen to all these so-called experts, they're already anointing Colorado and Carolina to the Stanley Cup Finals. Why even bother playing the damn game? Just put those two in the finals and let's get to it. Not so fast. Not so fast. Did anybody really think Anaheim would beat Edmonton in round one? Did anybody think Montreal would beat Tampa Bay in round one? I sure as heck didn't. I thought those two teams would walk into the second round. But that's why you play the game. And we're going to dig into why, not really dig into it, but talk about why each team could win the Stanley Cup and should win the Stanley Cup. And we'll start, obviously, in the East, because I want to talk about my former team, the Montreal Canadiens, and those dirtbags, Carolina Hurricanes. And for those of you who are new to my show, I get new listeners every once in a while. I really don't have an issue with the Carolina Hurricanes. I've had a bunch of their players on the show. I have a Patreon, and a part of my Patreon, I have a Slack channel. And a lot of the people who are a part of the Patreon are Carolina Hurricanes fans, and then they're a part of the Slack channel. And they just incessantly, nonstop, talk about how good Carolina is. Oh, Rod the Bod's got this team humming. They've only played 8 games. They've won them all. They're so great. Stahl and Stankoven, and they won the Rantanen trade, and they're so smart. And Yuri Tulski should be GM of the year every single year, and Rod the Bod should be coach of the year, Jack Adams every single year. It's our year. It's our year. I'm sick of hearing about it. So that's why I want this team to lose, so I can shut those guys up in the Slack channel, because they're nonstop. They're absolutely nonstop. But I know they're a good team. But coming into this conference finals, I think people are drinking the Carolina Hurricanes Kool-Aid a little too much. Yes, I get it. 8 straight wins. That's fantastic. Never been done before. It's great. But let's just pump the brakes. They played the Ottawa Senators, who were on an absolute tear at the end of the regular season to make the playoffs. So maybe they were gassed out. Maybe they weren't invested fully. They spent all their energy to get to the playoffs. And don't forget, Carolina should have lost a couple of those games if Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk and everybody else in the Ottawa Senators could just find the back of the net. They had so many grade A chances they could not finish, but they get by them. And then they play the Philadelphia Flyers, who had to battle through Pittsburgh, battle in loose terms, because that series stunk and they didn't really have any firepower. And Carolina, who is an overwhelmingly defensive juggernaut, I think we all know that. Rod the Bod has this team clicking every single year. They are a very, very, very disciplined defensive team. And Philadelphia is a run and gun. They are a very creative offense. They play a good defensive system. But when you run into a team that is just so well coached, everybody's playing the same way, and you are a young team as Philadelphia was, you're going to lose. And that's exactly what happened. Carolina was just a better team. I don't think they played Carolina the type of team that Montreal Canadiens are, where you have this much talent, where you have a very, very good goaltender who has stole them 2 straight series, where you have the type of defenseman that can be game changers. You have a shutdown defenseman, you have physical defenseman, and then you have Lane Hudson, who is fantastic. But why will Montreal win this series? Why do you ask? Why even bother? They played 2 game sevens. They're coming in dog tired. You know, they've been through the ringer. They're done. What's the point? Well, looking back in the regular season, and I don't do this very often because I don't think it applies to the playoffs, but I think it does here, because all 3 of the games that these teams have played against each other, they happened in this calendar year. There was no throwaway games in September, October, November. These games happened. 1 was in January and 2 were in March. Montreal went 3-0 in all 3 of those games. They won, I think it was 7-5, 3-1, and 5-2. That says a lot. And the thing that stuck out for me is Freddie Anderson started 2 of those games. Brendan Bussey started 1. But the big guys for Montreal played fantastic in those games. And the big guys, I'm talking about the first line, Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, Juraj Slafkovský. They played great in those 3 games. So if there was a team that could beat Carolina, it's Montreal in the Eastern Conference. They went up against them 3 times and they fared pretty well. And I think it's because they have skill. They have speed. They're well coached and they're not scared of them. They're fast enough to keep up with these guys. And based on the first 2 rounds, everything seems to be lining up well for Montreal. And that meaning their depth has carried them this far. Alex Newhook, Jake Evans, Ivan Demidov, Alexandre Texier, Deneau, Anderson, Bull Duke, Kirby Dach. Not so much, you know, Oliver Kapanen, who played, I think, 1 shift in game 7, rightfully so. He was a rookie playing his first game. But the depth of this team, excuse me, has been fantastic. And the reason why I say that bodes well for them is their top guys have been garbage. 5-on-5 in the first 2 series, I think they have a combined 5 points between the 3 of them, which is atrocious, absolutely atrocious. But all of that can be thrown away once the puck drops in the conference finals. And if your depth, which is hard to get going, depth players typically don't get the same ice time. They don't get the same opportunities. So when you have your second, third, and fourth line winning you 2 series so far, And it's just a matter of time for your first line to wake up, especially when your first line consists of a 100-point getter in Nick Suzuki, a 51-goal scorer in Cole Caufield, and a Juraj Slafkovský, who is just a young, budding Jaromír Jágr. You can't keep him down forever. And I know Carolina has the defensemen and the forwards that can do this, but it's just a matter of time before these guys break out. So getting to my point, if the bottom three lines are already producing, it's just a matter of time before those top three guys start producing, and they did it in the regular season versus these Hurricanes. So it seems to me that now is the time. Now is the time. Alex Newhook will not be the leading goal scorer for this team for a long time. I envision Nick Suzuki and Cole Caufield and Slafkovský and these guys to wake up and start scoring 5-on-5. Yeah, I know they have a great power play, but 5-on-5, they will wake up. Why else will this team win this series? Well, it starts with Jakub Dobiš. The guy's been lights out. And when you look at his save percentage, when you look at his goals against average, it's good. You know, it's not terrible. But it isn't like lights out. Freddie Anderson has lights out numbers right now. But Jakub Dobiš, the reason his numbers aren't terrific, he's got a 910 save percentage. Freddie Anderson's is 950. His goals against average is 252. Freddie Anderson's 112. It's because he gets grade A chances left, right, and center. And the Montreal Canadiens, they played the Buffalo Sabres and the Tampa Bay Lightning, two of the most offensively gifted teams in the NHL. And Jakub Dobiš stood on his head. Do you honestly think that he will have to face the type of grade A opportunities that he did versus those two teams? Does Carolina have the type of firepower that a Tampa Bay Lightning or a Buffalo Sabres has? No. The answer unequivocally is no. The Buffalo Sabres, their defense, were the best decor in the NHL in the regular season and in the playoffs when it comes to getting up in the rush, getting points, scoring goals. Carolina does not have that type of defenseman. They have a Shane Gostisbehere. That's great. But he ain't, you know, Rasmus Dahlin. He ain't jumping in the rush every time he gets the puck. They don't have to worry about that threat. So if I'm the Montreal Canadiens, I'm going into Carolina going, damn, this is going to be actually easier than what we faced in the first two rounds. And then when you look up front, I don't have to worry about a Tage Thompson. I don't have to worry about a Kucherov or a Point or any of these high-scoring forwards that are just relentless and huge and have a monster shot. All I really have to worry about is Logan Stankoven and Jason Blake and Taylor Hall. That sounds pretty good. And I know the first line, Svechnikov, Aho, and Jarvis are there. But the team that's been carrying this team so far in the playoffs is that second line. Even so, if I'm worrying about that first line, I'm not too worried about them. Compared to who we faced, compared to the forwards that we had to deal with in the first two rounds, yeah, Carolina's looking pretty good. You're telling me the second line of Guentzel, Point, and Corey Perry, Hagel, Kucherov, that's lethal, man. That's lethal. So the reason Carolina has a chance is because they've already handled the two best offenses in the Eastern Conference. And they came out ahead. They won both of those series. And I know Carolina is better coached and the better defensively, but holy hell, when you have gone through the battles that they've gone through and shut down, air quotes, because maybe they didn't shut down everybody, but when they needed to shut down guys, they shut them down. You gain confidence. And Montreal is coming into this Eastern Conference final feeling pretty damn good. Nobody expected them to win round one. Nobody expected them to win round two. Now here we are, the underdog again. And you don't have to face those high-end guys. And your rookie goaltender is playing lights out. He's already shut down those two offenses in two straight series. And if I'm them, I'm feeling pretty damn good. But the key for Montreal to win this series, yes, I know the first line needs to get going. Yes, I know Dobiš still has to play at a high level. Their power play needs to stay hot. Because the chances at 5-on-5 will not be there like they were versus the Buffalo Sabres and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The chances will be limited. Carolina has had 11 days to prepare for one of these teams. They know your tendencies. They know how you forecheck. They know your preferences. So, that being said, you need to continue the hot streak on the power play if you're the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, oh boy, was it fun to watch them on that power play versus the Sabres. Because the Sabres, for as great as they were undisciplined. Almost to a point where it was maddening. What are you doing getting so many penalties, Rasmus Dahlin? Bowen Byram, take care of your stick. Stop high-sticking people in the teeth. It just happened period after period where you were gifting the Montreal Canadiens power plays. If they would have been more disciplined, Buffalo's in this situation. But they aren't. And the power play when Montreal got on the ice, was it fun to watch? Who's the threat? As a PKer, and I PK'd a lot when I played, whether it was in college or pros, and the beautiful thing about being a healthy scratch is you do the scout team PK. So I was always PKing in practice versus my team's number one power play unit, and I was able to play with some of the best power plays to ever play the game. In San Jose, we had Jumbo, Marlowe, Pavelski, Couture, and Burns. And in Chicago, we had Kane, Taves, Hossa, Sharp, and Keith. That's a hell of a power play. So I would always play against these guys. And the key to a penalty kill is taking away their best option, right? You want to take away their top guy. In Chicago, it was, well, we got to take away Patty Kane. And so we would let them have Patrick Sharp. We would let them have Hossa. We would still get burned, but you take away the top guy. In San Jose, is like, we're not going to give Pavs a shot from the slot. Then Burns and Jumbo and Marlowe and Couture would pick us apart. Who do you take apart? Much like those two juggernaut power plays that I had to face in practice. Who do you take away from the Montreal Canadiens? What is their go-to move? They don't have one. It's Lane Hutson at the top. You know he's not going to shoot, but you have to, you know, address it and you have to respect it. Is he going left flank? Is he going right flank? Demidov, the last three games, has been lights out. He has found his mark. He has found his spot. He is heating up. Are you going to leave Nick Suzuki alone? Are you going to leave Sakovsky alone in front of the net? Oh, and then there's a 51 goal scorer, Cole Caulfield, roaming around. Who is the guy who you eliminate? I don't think you have a guy because they are all lethal. And that's the advantage of the Montreal power play. They all are wunderkids with the puck. There's not one weak link where you pressure him because he might turn the puck over. All these guys control the puck so well. They see the ice so well, and they're so well connected. All that being said, you have to continue to click at a high level if you're the Montreal Canadiens. You have to be above 25% to win this series. So that's the key for the Montreal Canadiens. If they can get power play opportunities, whether it's 2, 3, 4 a game, you have to click at 25% or above to win this series. That's, I think, what their key is. Moving on to Carolina. Oh, the big rest. They're 11 days off. Are they going to be able to bounce back? Oh, we're worried about them. Seriously? You really think a Rod Brind'Amour coach team is not ready to go, if not in better shape than they were when they swept the Philadelphia Flyers 11 days ago? This team has been chomping at the bit. They've been getting bag skated. They've been playing realistic scrimmage type practices. They will be ready to go. I don't see this 11 days off being an issue. They are the only healthy team in the NHL, which is a huge benefit for them. Every team is dealing with massive injuries, and we'll talk about that in the West because huge injuries in the West. But Montreal has to be injured. They have to be banged up based on the first two series, 14 games, overtime games, being taxed, the travel going from Montreal to Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay to Montreal. That's a lot. Montreal, Buffalo, not so much. But Carolina is the only healthy team, and that is a huge benefit for these guys. Their defense, like I mentioned earlier, they've allowed 10 goals in 8 games. That ain't bad. I know they played Ottawa. Ottawa should have scored more, but they still didn't let them score. Freddie Anderson has been lights out. He's leading the NHL in save percentage and goals against. Like I said, .950 save percentage, 1.12 goals against average. That's pretty good. The one issue Carolina has had over the last 7 or 8 years, we've been on this really great run of making the conference finals, flaming out, but at least they're there. A main issue has been goaltending. It's been Freddie Anderson. It's been Peter Mrazek. It's been Kochetkov. It's been whoever's been in net has been an issue. Maybe that's not an issue this year. We'll see when he gets to face some actual legit goal scorers. And I know, you know, Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stützle. Yeah, you're facing legit goal scorers in Montreal Canadiens. Like Cole Caulfield's a legit goal scorer. You know, Demidov is a stud. I really like him. Like, he's a hell of a player. But Freddie Anderson seems to have figured out his issues. The tertiary scoring, the secondary scoring for the Carolina Hurricanes has been phenomenal. That second line of Jackson Blake, Taylor Hall, and Logan Stankoven, It's been great. Taylor Hall, 3 goals, 9 assists. Jackson Blake, 4 goals, 7 assists. Logan freaking Stankoven, 7 goals, 1 assist in 8 games, you guys. 7 goals in 8 games. That's fantastic. That's the kind of depth that you need to win in the Stanley Cup, to win the cup, to get that ring. You need that depth, and Carolina has it. The third line, Ehlers, Jordan Staal, Martinuk. I like that third line. Eric Robinson, Jankowski, William Carrier. I like the fourth line. The issue I have is the first line. At least in Montreal, I will say this, a little caveat. I know the 5-on-5 points aren't there for the first line in Montreal. They're playing great on the power play. Like, they're putting up points on the power play, which makes up for their 5-on-5 misgivings. They need to correct that, but at least you can give them that. The Carolina Hurricanes, you cannot say the same for their first line. Aho, he's got 4 points. Jarvis, he's got 4 points. Svechnikov, he has 3 points. That's not good. That's not good at all. When I'm looking at their scoring, their leaderboard here, it goes Hall, Blank, Stankoven, Keandre Miller, Nikolaj Ehlers, Jordan Staal. Where are you, first line? Where are you? You need to produce. It's nice to have that depth. It's nice to know you don't have to score every single game in order to win, much like the Edmonton Oilers. If McDavid and Draisaitl stink, you will not win. It's nice to have that luxury. But in times like this, when there's only 4 teams left in the playoffs, your best players have to be your best players. And the first 8 games, those guys are nowhere near their best players. Not even close. So they need to step up. They need to have a better showing than what they've done so far. But the key for Carolina to win is that they need to outscore Montreal's first line. Because I know the second line will do it. I'm not concerned with Martinuk and Staal and Ehlers. I know they'll show up. I'm not concerned with their defensive structure. I'm not concerned with Freddie Anderson. I think he'll be fine. The key to Carolina in winning this series is that first line has to do something. And that's been their Achilles heel for the last 5, 6, 7 years. Their first line, their big guys, have not showed up when they needed them the most. We need a goal. We're down by 1, 10 minutes to go. We need a goal. Can't find it. We need a power play goal. This is it. Second period. We need a boost. Can't find it. We need someone to shut down the other team's first line. Let's go. We need it. We need you guys here. Can't do it. They haven't done it. 5, 6 years straight. Sebastian Aho stinks. Svechnikov stinks. Seth Jarvis hasn't been there as long. Not good. We need you guys to take that next step. You are the franchise guys. Now it's time. It's kind of poop or get off the pot, you guys. And in order for you, this is your chance. You've breezed through the first 2 rounds. You've gotten the easiest couple series to get to this point in your, you know, decade long. I keep going 5, 6, 6, 7, whatever. In your tenure of making these runs to the Eastern Conference Finals, you've had the easiest route to get here to date. Now it's time. Now it's time to step up and face a Montreal team that is not equivalent to the other teams that you faced in the years past, whether it was a New York Rangers or a Tampa Bay Lightning or a Florida Panthers. This is your series to win. This is your time to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Can you do that? All you need to do is have your first line guys step up. Will they do it? I don't know. We'll find out. Game one starts tomorrow. All right, moving west. The Colorado Avalanche versus the Gavis Golden Knights. Vegas Golden Knights. Freudian slip there. I think they're all gay. No, the Vegas Golden Knights. Why will Vegas win this series? Well, they've had a pretty easy route to the conference finals as well, much like the Carolina Hurricanes. They haven't had to face that high end of talent coming into these playoffs. They've dispatched all their opponents pretty easily. And now here we are in the conference finals. Who did they play? They had the Anaheim Ducks, and then they had the Utah Mammoth. Not that hard. Compared to Colorado, Colorado had to play an LA Kings team who I really liked, but just couldn't get it together. And then obviously the Minnesota Wild. But yeah, Utah and Anaheim, they gave them a little bit of a fit, but overall they kind of played their way into the conference finals. John Tortorella has his team playing fantastic. The one issue they had in the regular season was goaltending. Carter Hart is fantastic. I think he's up to 3, almost 4 goals saved above expected in the postseason, which is great. the back end's playing solid, but the main reason they're here, and let's not, you know, mix words, it's Mitch Marner. This guy's playing fantastic. Last series versus the Ducks, he had 11 points in six games, five goals, six assists. The guy's playing lights out. Especially with Mark Stone being injured, he's stepped up even more so and is leading this team. He is the most dangerous player on this roster. And to boot, he's playing fantastic defensively. This guy is the heartbeat of this team. And boy, oh boy, I'm not going to bring up Toronto other than this. They might be kicking themselves. You think? Just a little bit? Eh, maybe we got rid of the wrong guy. Because he looks motivated. He looks comfortable. And he looks absolutely dangerous. Especially when Stone is in the lineup. He gets to play with Carlson and Stone, who were two of the most smartest players. Sound defensively, but really good offensively. That's a lethal line. But the Vegas Golden Knights, the thing that they have is depth. They're so incredibly deep. When you look at this roster, aside from even with Mark Stone being injured, that first line is still very, very dangerous. That second line is very, very dangerous. And when you could have Thomas Hertl and Stanley Cup champion Brandon Saad, and you got the depth and the grit on the fourth line of Nick Dowd and Keegan Kolesar, it's a deep team. And gosh, who do we have on that Nashville Predators reporter, Ty Anderson? We arguably have the best centerman in the NHL and Colton Sissons playing third line winger for the Vegas Golden Knights. So to have that luxury, Colton Sissons playing on the third line, that's crazy. Remember when he thought he was going to be first line center for the Nashville Predators? How stupid was that? Swing and a miss, Ty Anderson. Maybe next time. But going back to the depth of the Vegas Golden Knights, Thomas Hertl, William Karlsson, Jack Eichel down the middle. That's very, very, very solid. And then you got Marner and Dorofeev and Barbashev and Brett Howden. By the way, the three leading goal scorers in the NHL in these playoffs come from the Vegas Golden Knights. Brett Howden, coming out of nowhere. You always need a surprise depth guy to score. He's that guy for the Vegas Golden Knights. And you got Marner and Dorofeev. Everybody's doing it. On the back end, you have D-men who can jump up in the rush. You have D-men who are physical. You have D-men who can be shut down D-men. Obviously, they rely on the top four, McNabb, Theodore, Hanifin, and Anderson. But they all play a pretty good shift. But the key for the Vegas Golden Knights to win this playoffs, it's Carter Hart. Can he continue this run? Because in the regular season, not great. Not great whatsoever. So I don't know what John Tortorella is doing or saying to him, but he's playing great hockey. His angles are good. His rebounds are solid. He's just playing really, really good hockey. And like I said, they didn't play great talent in the first two rounds, but they did play two highly offensively gifted teams. The Anaheim Ducks play a run-and-gun style. They were throwing everything at the Vegas Golden Knights, and Carter Hart played great. Another key to their success is Makar being out. If Cale Makar is out for a prolonged period of time, and he is out game one with a separated shoulder, they're not listing it as an injury. It's an upper body injury, but we all know he separated his shoulder when he ran into Ryan Hartman in game five of their series, didn't come back to the game. If he's out for a prolonged period of time, that's a big hit to the Colorado Avalanche. Because when you look at that roster, much like the Carolina Hurricanes, without Cale Makar, who's the guy on the power play? Who's the guy who's leading the rush? Is it Malinsky, his replacement? Is it 41-year-old Brent Burns? Because it sure as hell ain't Kulak Manson. Is it Devin Taves stepping into that position? I don't know who that guy is on the first power play unit. Cale Makar does so much for this team that I don't know if they can do it without him. But we'll see. But that's a key for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think if they have any chance of winning, Makar has to be out for a prolonged period of time, because with Makar on this roster, they're very, very difficult to beat. Let's get to the Colorado Avalanche. What more can we say? They're 8-1 in the playoffs. They've outscored teams 23-13 at 5-on-5. The power play is finally clicking. They're 25%, and that was their one weakness in the regular season. They have depth. 17 players have scored for these guys in 9 games. 17 players. You only dress 18 players, and 17 of them scored. Nathan MacKinnon has been lights out. Martin Nichus, he's been lights out. He had 9 points versus the Wild, each of them. 5 goals, 4 assists for MacKinnon. 1 goal, 8 assists for Nichus. Like, their best players are producing when they need them the most versus the Minnesota Wild, the third best team in the NHL, and they just dominated. The one issue, the one chink in the armor of the Colorado Avalanche that I did not see coming, I thought this was, you know, one of their biggest assets is the goaltending. Scott Wedgwood, Mackenzie Blackwood. Not great. They both got pulled in the second round. They both have shown signs of just faltering, non-consistent play. If, and it's a big if, because both of these guys are very good. And I'm not actually worried about them whatsoever. But at this stage of the playoffs, this, you know, you're down to the final four. You need to have a number one figured out. You need to have that guy. And Carolina has Freddie Anderson, Montreal, obviously, has Jakub Dobysz. Those two guys are locked in. The Vegas Golden Knights have Carter Hart. The Avalanche don't have that guy. They need to have one guy step up. I think it'll be Scott Wedgwood, but if he falters, Mackenzie Blackwood is a decent backup. But if in some alternate universe, both of these guys have issues and they don't come back to the form we saw them in the regular season, with the addition of Cale Makar being out, that's the recipe for them losing this series. I know you have depth up front. I know you have Kadri and MacKinnon and Nelson and Nichushkin and Colton and Nicholas Roy and Landeskog and Nachos and Laikkanen. Holy shit, like they have a lot. Jack Drury, like they have a lot of talent. But, like I've said forever and always, strength down the middle and back end. If Makar is out, this defense looks very pedestrian. It looks very beatable if I'm the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm chipping the puck in. I'm beating up these defensemen. I'm forcing them to make a good outlet pass. They need to go 200 feet. I'm not making it easy on them. Because Makar does so much out there that you don't realize, like, damn, like his breakout passes, his anticipation. He makes it easy on Devin Taves. Burns and Adchan and Josh Manson and Kulak don't have to play as much. Makar plays 30 minutes a game. He is a juggernaut back there. But if he's out, this back end doesn't look that good, you guys. And John Tortorella, for as abrasive and, you know, bombastic as he comes across, he's a smart guy. He knows how to wear teams down. And he plays a very physical brand of hockey. And you know what he's going to say to his team. Throw it in the corners, boys. Get on your toes. Bury these defensemen. Make it hard on them. Put it behind them and get on their asses. That's what he'll say. I've been on his team. I know what he does. And he sees a weakness. There's blood in the water and he will exploit it. So if Cale Makar is out 2-3 games, this could get tricky for the Colorado Avalanche. And he's out game one. His impact is huge. Way, way, way more than a Nathan MacKinnon or a Nelson or a Kadri, a Landeskog. He is the straw that stirs this drink. And Mark Stone being out for the Vegas Golden Knights, that's tough. It stinks. It'd be nice to have him there. Doesn't have the same impact as a Cale Makar. So the key for the Avalanche is their goaltending has to be good. They have to make some saves. They have to be there. They have to find that guy in order to win this series. I think they can win it if Makar's out, if those goaltenders play good. But if they're paired together, if the goaltending is still suspect and Makar's not there, we are primed for an upset. Now to my picks. I think, let me rephrase it. I know the Montreal Canadiens will win this series. I'm the only one that I've seen who is making this pick, but you can write this down in stone, in marker, permanent marker. It'll be Montreal in 7, 3 straight series going to game 7, and Montreal will win this series. I believe in this team. I believe in the guys. They're going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. It's going to be fantastic. Out West, I think Makar will be back. I think these guys will figure it out. I think they will beat the Vegas Golden Knights, but it won't be, you know, an easy walk in the park like they've been getting the first two rounds. I think it'll be a 6-game series for the Colorado Avalanche. And then we're going to have a hell of a Stanley Cup Finals, Colorado Avalanche and the Montreal Canadiens. I'm not going to bury the lead, so we'll save that for another show. But enjoy the playoffs, everybody. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back next week. I'm heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow, but I'll be back next week. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Cheers, everybody.